Well, we turn now to the Gospel according to Luke and to chapter 2, the very famous record of what happened on that night. Now, we read in the book of Revelation that when the Lord Jesus comes again, many things concerning history will have happened. There will be massive numbers of people living upon the earth who are not only unbelieving of God, but very much against God. There will be wars and famines and pestilences and earthquakes, all these things. And it is always so that the returning or the coming of the Lord Jesus is firmly embedded in the life of the nations of the world. And it was just so here in Jesus' first coming. The fact that he was born, as it was prophesied that he would be, in Nazareth, had everything to do, humanly speaking, with the Roman taxation system. The word for taxation actually means a registration, of writing down. But of course, there's nothing wrong with taxation, because the whole purpose of knowing how many people there were and where they came from and where they lived and where they could be found had absolutely to do with paying money to the Romans by way of taxes. And so it was that Augustus Caesar decreed that the whole world, which would be from Great Britain right through to the shores of India, that the whole world should be taxed. And it would take a little while, even with the straight roads that they had built, to get the message there. And Luke helps us by dating it, that it was first organized when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, with the implication that when it came to pass in Bethlehem, he was no longer the governor of Syria. But the whole idea of registration was so that you would be liable for tax, could be found, because they would know where you came from, and of course they could tell how many people there were. We have a taxation, we have a census system in this country, which has to be recorded every 10 years, and we know who married who, and who lived where for last more than 100 years, because of the regular 10-year census. And it was all very well organized. The Romans said that everybody was to return to not so much the city of their birth, but the city where their family originally came from. And because Joseph was of the family of Judea, he was a descendant of Judah, he was a descendant of David, and their city was Bethlehem, near Jerusalem. He was to go there with his wife to register. And because Mary's name was to go down too. And as the baby wasn't born, I don't know whether his name was put down as well. But there. That was the reason that brought them there. But it was all God's doing. Even though it was an event that the Lord had told well beforehand that it would happen. And because he could tell it well beforehand that it was going to happen, because he'd organized it to happen. And so it was that while they were there, it was time for the baby to be born. I always think that those words that we sang this morning are lovely. The crowded in, like sinners' hearts, O ignorance extreme, for other guests of various sorts had room, but none for him. See what different thoughts arise in our and angels' breasts. To hail his birth, they left the skies. What did we do? We lodged him with the beasts. Wonderful hymn that shows the contrast between what God thinks about Jesus and what most people on earth think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't the son of a great monarch. He was born and they were outside where the cattle were kept and perhaps the horses ate. But it was a manger, a place where he could be laid, which would have straw in it, which the animals would nibble from. And that's where he was put. They wrapped him in the clothes that they used to do in those days, sort of swaddling bands, and they placed him in a manger. And all because there was no room for him in the inn. No room for Jesus. That is a tremendous point that the Bible makes. The place was too full up to have the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. And the point is well made in the hymn, isn't it? That our hearts can be so taken up with the work we've got to do, the things we like to do, the hobby, the leisure we want to do and everything, that there's actually effectively no room for Jesus. It is a good picture. But the Lord Jesus wasn't there so that people could kowtow to him and bow to him because he was the son of a king. He was the King of Kings and the Son of God himself. But he was brought up by Joseph and brought up by his mother among the poorest in the nation. He was insignificant in terms of the way the Lord brought him into the world. And the world still thinks of him as being insignificant. Move away from that scene of what took place in the stable at the back of the inn. And there was a group of men doing what they always did. At night, they were shepherds and they looked after their sheep. They probably put them in a pen. There were wild animals, such as wolves, that could always go for them. And so they stayed awake all night to look after their sheep. They probably dozed off because there would soon be a noise of bleating if any wild animal got anywhere near that would wake them up. But here were these shepherds. We did read about the wise men who came to Jesus a little later on. And so the Lord particularly showed the poorest and among the most clever to introduce Jesus to them, to tell the parts of the world where they lived. So there were these shepherds abiding in the field. Like they weren't camping there by night, they were just sitting or lying down alongside the pens with their flock. And suddenly, lo, says the Bible, suddenly, absolutely out of nowhere it would seem, an angel appeared from heaven. And not only did the angel appear, but there was a tremendously bright light that shone around them. And just like it had been with Mary when the angel first came to her, so it was to these men. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were very afraid. Now this was a lovely thing to happen. But of course, things happen that aren't very nice suddenly. And they happen suddenly. I love surprises. I look forward to going to heaven and will find it such a surprise that we know things about heaven from the Bible. It would be lovely to have surprises. I was never asked when I was a boy what I would like for Christmas and what I would like for a birthday, because the whole emphasis was on surprises. You never knew what you're going to get. You didn't ask for money. You weren't asked whether you'd like this or like that. The whole thing came as a total surprise. Hopefully it would be something you really, really, really wanted, but perhaps it wasn't always. But the idea of surprise is a tremendous thing. And when we go to heaven, we'll be surprised. And this was a great surprise. Came to the shepherds, and on a typical night when they were doing what they always did, suddenly heaven was opened, and an angel appeared, and the light shone brightly everywhere, instead of it being dark. And they were afraid, very afraid, just like Mary. And the angel said, just like Gabriel said to Mary, fear not. When God visits our hearts, he settles our hearts. He says, don't be afraid. When Jesus was just about to heal the boy who was mentally afflicted and afflicted by a devil, and he was just about to heal him, the devil cast him down. Everybody thought he was dead. But because Jesus knew he was going to heal him, he was quite all right going through that experience. When Jesus rebukes us for sin, when we're being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, it seems to be a bit frightening. Somewhere where you've never been before, some thinking that you never thought before. And you realize perhaps how cross God is with your life as it is. And you're led into a realm of thinking that you'd never really thought like. It seems suddenly frightening and you're on your own. And as always, God says, fear not, fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, if you like. So the angel said unto them, fear not. Do you know why I've come? I've come to bring you good news. And it's good news that will bring great joy. And it's for everybody. For the whole world. It's why I began the service with all people. Well, not the song, but the psalm. Sing unto the Lord, all ye lands. The gospel is for everybody. And only a very small minority take it up. But it is for everybody. It is joy to the world. The Lord is King. Fear not, he says. I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy that shall be to all people. When have you turned on television and listened to the news and said, it's been a super day today. Everything we've got to tell you is of great significance and a wonderful thing. Doesn't happen, does it? So it's bad news. And because we're sinful people, we lap up the bad news. And though we feel for the people who are hurt and the wars that there are and the people who have been made homeless by famine, it doesn't really take us by surprise. But when the angel appeared, he says it's good news that brings great joy and it's for everyone. Do you think it's changed? Do you think it's not good news anymore? Do you think it doesn't bring joy anymore? Because it does. It'll be, how many years did I say it was? I was working it out. I think it'll be 72 years since I was baptized in 2 weeks' time. So I was converted in September before, so that is 72 years. But it is great joy. The Saviour always teaches you the things you need to know, changes your life, makes you a better person than you would have been. I hate to think what would have happened to me without that. But it's good news. It's great joy. And that joy lasts forever. After we've died, there's a better life to come where there is no more sorrow or tears. And it is that affects everybody. Because everybody's going to die. It's good news for all people. And the preaching of the gospel finds out who it is that when they hear it, is actually going to say, yes, I want this. Lord, will you give me this? I need that sort of change. But the majority of people don't. So it is good news of great joy, and it's for all people. Unto you, he says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The Anointed One, the Messiah, is born. Doesn't tell them the name is Jesus at this stage. Down there in that city, you're on the hills above, down there in that city there's been born a Saviour. The Saviour who's been promised over thousands of years to the nation. He's been born today. And he's been born to save people from their sins. It's great joy. To you is born this day a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. I don't think the shepherds wondered where they'd have to go if they went to see him, perhaps a palace or something. But they don't get time to think. This, says the angel, is going to be a sign for you. You shepherds, you're going to go and find him. And then when you found him, you can tell the neighborhood. This shall be a sign for you. You will find the babe. You're going to find. You're going to look, and you're going to find. Don't give you all the details, but enough to find out. Ye shall find the babe. If you go inquiring round and looking round, you're looking for a babe who will be wrapped in swaddling clothes. And if that helps you, he'll be in a manger. So he's not told exactly. They've got to do some searching. All of us, when we come to the Lord Jesus, have to search our hearts, search that we might understand, see what the Lord wants to do with us. But they were given enough information to know that the thing was true and that they would, in fact, find him. Unlike the wise men, they had no star. You shall find the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. If the Lord enables us to find him, he won't be lying in a manger nowadays. He'll be the Saviour who was crucified and died for our sins, and is alive forevermore in heaven. And if the visit of the angel was not a surprise, something greater was about to happen. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Host, what's a host? Well, host could be somebody who entertains you, but it's not the meaning here. The Greek word is army. And the angels of God always were the army. Do you remember the prophet and his servant Gehazi? And Gehazi was frightened because he could see the enemy all round about. And the prophet prayed, Lord, open their eyes that he may see that there are more with us than there are with them. And when his eyes were open, they saw the armies of God, the angels, capable of protecting. So it was the armies of God, the angels, but they're able to fight and to guide and to look after you. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. I don't know if they were all there. We're told in the Bible that there were thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. But it was a great gathering, I'm sure. There was a mighty, mighty crowd. But they were a united crowd. They were all singing or saying, conveying exactly the same message. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. But when we sing the same words at the same time, hopefully. And you praise by doing that. There was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, And here you see they all said the same thing. And it's a heavenly word. I talked to you about crafted hymns. This is a wonderfully crafted, but it's crafted by God, crafted message. Glory to God in the highest. The opposite of highest is on earth. The opposite of glory is peace, goodwill. The opposite of God is men. There are three mighty contrasts. But the word comes from the Lord. And the angels are singing it together in unison, maybe in harmony, but the same words at the same time. I don't know if it woke the neighborhood up. There's no suggestion that it did. This was something that the shepherds out on the hills alone could see and alone heard. It doesn't appear that anybody else down in town saw the light or heard the singing. But suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it's something that has to do with God in the highest and something that has to do with people on earth. This is something that has to do both with God and his attitude to people. It's God in the highest and men on earth. God in all his capacity of creator and of keeping the world going and all the mighty things that he is able to do and his knowledge of everybody and being able to be everywhere at the same time. God in his highest capacity as God, the most noble, the most wonderful, the most separated. God in the highest has this relationship in the Saviour to mankind, to people. God is not someone remote. Indeed, Jesus was to be known as God with us. But he was not somewhere remote. But though he was great, God in the highest, the blessing is for men, people, on earth. That means that even we in our day can enjoy this blessing. The blessing that brings the great glory to God, the thing that means most to him, the thing that is perhaps the most difficult thing to attain, but nothing's difficult for God, the changing of people's hearts, the bringing of them to his Saviour. But that which brings glory to the highest also brings to mankind the greatest blessing. It brings peace and goodwill. We deal with an angry God, says the Bible. Another place of the Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day. But to those who believe in his Son and why his Son came to this earth, he gives peace in the heart. When I was a boy, I worried about lots of things. Couldn't keep up at school was one of them. One of the things. Was always naughty and was always in trouble and didn't know where the next trouble was going to come from. Had no father, so sort of half knew I was cared for and half didn't. You see, when God came and preached Jesus to my heart, it settled all those things into peace. If God loves you, that's more significant than anything. If God has looked at your sin and instead of rejecting you has said, I pardon it because I punished Jesus instead of you so that you can survive. And if you know that you're wanted by the living God, and if you know he loves to hear you when you talk and pray to him, it's life changing. The Lord has peace towards men and goodwill. Modern translations say glory to God in the highest and on earth peace towards men of goodwill. But there are no men of goodwill towards God by nature. Clearly, Jehovah is right here. God brings goodwill towards men. Though he's angry with the wicked, it's forgivable. He's not against them. He's not forever against and rejecting people. Those who come to him and realize what they've done or been, they may come and they're welcome to come. And there's goodwill from God to men and women and boys and girls. And this was a wonderful thing to the angels. The angels said, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And then, like all good things, it began to go away. I never want a good day to end, you know, if it's been a particularly special day. I wish it could go on forever. But even this wonderful scene began to vanish. The angels, having said that and sung that in their thousands, began to move away. And the angel who had first come to them began to go away. And the Greek is a continuing past tense. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven. It came to pass as the angels were going away, and it was coming back to normal, the shepherds spoke to each other. What they said was, let's go and see what it is that these angels have been talking about. Let us go to Bethlehem, which is where they said, this city. And shall we see if we can find this baby born in the stable? Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. They got to move on. They came with haste. Didn't hang about. They really got to move on. So in the middle of the night, don't know if they left the youngest one with the sheep or whether they just abandoned the sheep. We don't know. Not told. But they came as quickly as they could, and they found Mary. And they found Joseph. But the identifying feature was the babe lying in a manger. Could be no mistaking it. They'd never seen anything like it before. Probably not happened since. Here was this babe, newborn, lying in a manger. So they knew who it was. They knew because they'd been told by the angels who'd come from God himself that this was the Saviour. This was Christ, the Lord. This babe, born and lying in a manger. I don't know what they did when they were there. I expect they told Mary and Joseph about what they'd heard and seen. No idea. But when they had seen the babe lying in a manger, they made known abroad, that is to say, they made known to everybody they came across, the saying which was told them concerning this child. It's likely that when Bethlehem woke up the next morning, many people had been told by the shepherds that this was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was in this stall, this manger, in the inn. And they would have told others. And everybody there in Bethlehem at that time would have known that this was the Messiah. Go forward 30-odd years. And maybe you've got a core of people who from the earliest days have known that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah. When they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, that the angels had said it, and what they'd said. And all they that heard it wondered at the things that were told them by the shepherds. And here, even here, in those early days, you have a message being made known to others. Mary, knowing, as we heard this morning, that she'd been told by the angel that she was to bear the Messiah, she was to call his name Jesus because it meant Saviour, and when the angels came, the birth had actually happened, she had this great encouragement to believe that really these things were true. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Having brains is wonderful. Brains help us to ponder. Why did that happen? What's it about? Why should it happen to me? What's expected of me? What career shall I have? What shall I do? We ponder these things. We think about them. Plan for them. We think of various opportunities. If it's a job, this one, that one, this one, this sort of thing, that sort of thing, whatever. But we ponder them in our hearts. Pondering is a wonderful gift to mankind. Those people who never meditate, those people who never think about, just let things happen to them, but never think about their significance, will find that they're missing out on one of the greatest things in life. This was a great encouragement to Mary. She'd heard from the angel before she was born, before he was conceived, that he would be born. And now she kept these things that the angels had said. The angels told her, obviously. The shepherds told her, obviously. And the shepherds told her the message of the angel and what had been said. Mary remembered these things. She kept them to herself and pondered them in her heart. And it made a difference to the shepherds. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen as it was told unto them. Changed the shepherds. They all were believers from that very moment. They returned and together they praised God, not as good as the angels, but they did, and they were glorifying God because it was a wonderful thing to do that a child should be born who would one day take the government on his shoulders and take the sin of the world away. They returned. Different people, different things to talk about, different encouragements. And that was that first great evening, the evening of Christ's birth. And it is to be pondered about, because there are only one or two events till Jesus starts his public ministry, aged about 30. There's the visit of the wise men. We don't know how old Jesus was when the wise men came. Anything up to two. We know about Jesus going to the temple when he was 12. So after this day, when the shepherds returned, glorified God, and Mary kept these things in her heart, we know nothing except the visit of the wise men and Jesus going to the temple when he's 12 until he reappears at 30. A long while to ponder, isn't it? A long while to remember the things that you were told. You do remember things you're told when you were young. But some of the people who were told may not have been so young, and they've got to remember for 30 years. Christ was given to the world, and it pleased the Lord that he should be born in a stable, and that he should be revealed first to the poor. The Egyptians thought that those who kept sheep were an abomination. Do you remember? Below them, beneath them. God is even for the lowest, for the lowliest, for the least intelligent, for the most afflicted. The Saviour comes. He will come to the rich. He will come to the well-educated. But the poor needn't think they're left out. They may think they're left out in state grants and things like this, but the Lord God never leaves out the poorest, those who can least help themselves. Always he helps them. And always all the help which God gives is given through Jesus Christ. Do rejoice this Christmas over the events of that Christmas time. I'll have a little more to say tomorrow, God willing, on Christmas Day.